every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday, every day, every day, Friday.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I am Michael B. Ballard, the marriage pastor, and I'm going to be your guide on this crazy thing called love. I am a love, sex, and attachment expert for the kingdom of God. So if you're single and ready to mingle, or if you're already hitched but your love is in the ditch, we're going to remix your love kingdom style. I hope you're ready. Buckle up, buttercup. Let me drop some knowledge on you from the kingdom of God. So as always, let's add my information in. Shouts out to all those people that are in the Faithful Hearts community. Oh, I like it. There we go. There we go. That's the way I like it. Shouts out to the Faithful Hearts community. Hey, Genesis 1:26. This is where we get our marriage mandate from the kingdom of God. This is the purpose and the reason for marriage. God has brought you together for a purpose that is directly tied to the kingdom. And I'm going to help you figure what that is. In the meantime, we're going to develop some holistic relationship skills all wrapped around the word of God. So let's begin with our lesson today, which I believe is going to be module 4. Yes, it is module 4. I'm excited. Let's get this going. Here we go. You know how that technology be. All right. Again, welcome to my divine love lessons. Well, you're going to get some holistic relationship skills. Okay. We all need some skills. Now, this series is Foundations of Love series. It's three parts. We are on part two, which is called Love in Creation. And in this particular part, we are in what's lesson 4 or module 4. We're going to be talking about the responsibility that is entrusted to humanity, all wrapped around Genesis 1:26. This is your marriage, part of your marriage mandate. So remember, guys, if you haven't done it, download your workbook. Okay, this is going to be your guide. This will help you to take this lesson to the next level. It has action steps. It has reflection questions, focused prayer. And for those that are facilitating small groups, please make sure that you're downloading your facilitator's manual or workbook as well. And make sure that everybody in your class has their own workbook. Not only does it help take these lessons to the next level, but it helps support this mission to get love, sex, and attachment to the world in terms of what it is God is saying. So let's get ready to rock and roll. Make sure everything is ready to go. I am excited. I hope you are. Remove all distractions if necessary. Make sure you're doing this from a computer or laptop at home. Let's jump right into it. As always, I love to start with a story. This one is The Stewards of Maple Street. The Stewards of Maple Street. Let's get it. In a cozy suburban neighborhood on Maple Street, there lived a couple, Ethan and Zoe, known for their dedication to community service and environmental stewardship. Their story was a modern reflection of the responsibility entrusted to humanity as described in Genesis 2 and 15, as well as in 19 through 20. Ethan was a local school teacher and Zoe an environmental consultant. They believed strongly in caring for creation and fostering a sense of community. They spearheaded a neighborhood initiative to transform the unused land at the end of Maple Street into a thriving community garden. And I hear God is saying that he's calling some of you, there's some couples and some people in here to do that to their very own community. Oh, glory to God. I pray that that is a blessing that he just spoke to somebody, that he wants them to do that in their community, to transform some dead spots in their community into a garden. Oh, that just came to me. The project started small with just a few neighborhoods interested. Ethan and Zoe dedicated themselves to teaching others about sustainable gardening practices, emphasizing the importance of caring for the earth as a shared responsibility. They drew inspiration from Genesis, where Adam was tasked to keep the Garden of Eden, seeing this as a metaphor for their own role in their community. As the garden took shape, more neighbors began to join in. The community garden became a place not only for growing fruits and vegetables, but also for building relationships. People of all ages came together, working side by side, sharing knowledge and nurturing a sense of belonging. Ethan used his experience as a teacher to organize educational workshops for the children, teaching them gardening, also teaching them about plants, insects, and the ecosystem. Zoe led discussions with adults about environmental conservation and how small community-led initiatives could make a significant impact. The community garden on Maple Street turned into a local hub of activity and connection. It was a place where the principles of stewardship, responsibility, and care for creation were vividly lived out. For Ethan and Zoe, this was more than just a project. It was a fulfillment of the responsibility entrusted to them to care for the earth, as well as foster community bonds. Their story became an inspiring example in their town, showing how the wisdom of Genesis could be applied to modern times. Amen. Amen. Again, I hope that was a blessing to you. I hope you got inspired by that story. And again, I know God is speaking to some people right now that's listening to this to tell them that this is something that they can do in their own community. Our scripture we're going to go with is Genesis 2 and 15 and 19 and 20. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and take care of it. This is a side note. Don't think that heaven is going to be boring, because remember that heaven and earth was a reflection of heaven. So if he put us in a garden to work, and that work does not mean labor. So there's a difference between work or just being in the work. It means being the essence of who you are supposed to be. It's not work when you're doing and being who you're supposed to be. So that's for somebody, so God to understand that you were not called on this earth just to not do anything. You are called to work, not just labor, not just have a job, but to be what it is God has called you to be. Now, the Lord God, he's talking to me. I tell you, every time I teach, I get revelation. That goes for relationships. God is saying one of the reasons why a lot of our relationships are stagnant and not going to the next level is because you just got together. There was no purpose. There was no plan. And there is no growth in any movement as a couple. You're just doing the same things over and over and over again. And God is saying he is calling us to steward the earth, to make some movement, to do some things in our relationships that goes past the normal. And guys, we got a special visitor right now who just came to jump in my class. It's my beautiful son, Cameron. Say hi to all of the students. Say hi, students. All right. Daddy loves you. Here, go back and we'll sit over there and play. No. I'm working. I'm with my students. Okay, guys. Hey, sometimes you gotta push through it, but I need for you. Listen to Papa. Okay. You just go sit down and play. Okay. Okay. Yeah. You want to sit on the couch? Okay, sit on the couch. Hey guys. I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm not sorry. Sometimes you apologize, but this is when you have a, hey, I need you to go in there. Anyway, well, give me 1 minute, guys. Sorry for disturbing the class. 1 second. There we go. I had to bribe him with his favorite fruit snacks, as we will need to do from time to time with our babies. But let's get back into the marriage mandate and what God has called us to do. Remember, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all of the wild animals and all of the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. Again, I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, especially with men, ladies, how we are designed from creation. Men are workers. We are designed to work. When you're, and I'm not talking labor. Again, there's a difference between labor and working, being who you are naturally. If a man not operating in that vein of being who he is naturally, it goes against his nature. And if it goes against his nature, it will cause some conflict in his love life, in his relationship. But again, that mandate was for both man and woman. And so God is saying he's calling us to have some responsibilities within our marriages and our relationships, that we're not just getting together because it's fun or because, you know, she cute, he cute, let's make some babies and let's pay some bills and things like that. No, no. Your marriage is called to go to another level. It has kingdom purpose on this earth. So let's go down and break down some of these things. Stewardship and care. Stewardship and care. Just as Adam was entrusted with the care of the Garden of Eden, each person in a relationship has a responsibility to nurture and care for their partner and the relationship itself. This stewardship is about providing emotional support, understanding, and care, ensuring that the relationship grows and thrives. So everybody in this relationship has a responsibility to help nurture and grow. If you are one-sided, if you only have one person that's in this relationship that's constantly being nurturing, constantly emotionally validating people, and they're not reciprocating that, that's going to choke out the relationship. That relationship is lopsided. It is not going to last. Listen, if you're in a relationship and another person is saying, well, I just don't know how to do these things, that's a cop-out response. It's a cop-out response, not a kingdom relationships. It is both parties' responsibility in that relationship to nurture and steward it. This should not be a one-sided thing. Now, I understand that there are roles in relationships. There will be roles in relationship. There will be, hey, this person can do that more better than I can. This person can cook. It's not a gender thing, right? Men can maybe, the man may be a better cook. I'm sorry, the man may be a better cook. The woman may be better at fixing cars, right? I knew when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about cars. I wasn't even interested in knowing anything about cars. But my mom, when I had a problem with my car, my mom came and fix alternators. My mom came and understood electrical system in a car. Not, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with gender. It has something to do with who is gifted in that area. But it's both people's responsibility in a relationship. Marriage is a team sport. It is not a one-sided relationship. It is both people's responsibility to care for it. So if you are in a relationship, I challenge you today that both people need to get some training, some skills, taking classes like this, reading books, stewarding a relationship so that both people can carry and support the relationship, okay? Active participation and engagement. Adam's role in naming the animals signifies active participation and engagement with his environment. Relationship. This translates to being actively involved and present. Actively involved and present. It's about engaging with your partner, understanding their needs, and contributing to the relationship's growth and well-being. You need to be an active participant in your marriage, in your relationship. Can't tell you how many couples I know where that one person is begging and pleading that their spouse or significant other take interest, bring some fire to the relationship, spark. I know you may be introverted, but marriages are calling us to come outside of those comfort zones. You're going to have to be actively engaged. I hear you, Holy Spirit, and that includes sex. When you just lying down as a body and not being active participant in making love to your spouse, I'm telling you, it gets old fast. Sex is a team sport. Marriage is a team sport. You're gonna have to get some help to get outside of those things that's blocking you from engaging in the relationship with your partner. Emotional. So your partner needs encouragement, not just acknowledgement, not just, oh yeah, I saw you over there. Yeah, I see what you're doing. That's acknowledgement. Encouragement is, you know what, you can do this. Man, I really believe that God has called you to do this. Like, whatever you need, you know, that's encouragement. Support is, hey, whatever you need, I got you. Here's some money. Here is me taking the kids away so that you can do what it is God has called you to do. Here's me making sure that the home is peaceful so that you can do what it is that God has called you to do. That's support. You need to know the difference between acknowledgement, encouragement, and support, because they are different and they cause different acts of engagement and participation within a relationship. Next, partnership and teamwork. The act of Adam tending to the garden implies partnership and teamwork. In a relationship, both partners should work together towards common goals, be it building a family, managing a household, supporting each other's personal growth and ambitions. Listen, guys, Genesis 1:26 is calling us to be in marriages and relationships that takes things to the next level. Again, it's not just you cute, she cute, and he cute, and we get together to make some babies. No, you guys need to have some gunk, some common goals. Now, you don't necessarily have to always work together to build something, but it is going to be sure nice to have some support, encouragement, and some acknowledgement within that particular marriage and that relationship. And yes, God told me somebody needs to write that down. Encouragement, support, and acknowledgement are three different areas that you need to master, and you need to know when to give that to your spouse and what that looks like for your spouse. Because it can be different. Support can be different. It shouldn't be the support you want to give them. It should be the support that they need. And again, you don't have to necessarily work with your spouse in every aspect of your dreams, but you're supposed to be acknowledging it, supporting it, encouraging it, and working together. That's working together. That's a part of teamwork. Next one, respect for individuality. When Adam names the animals, he recognizes their unique nature. Similarly, in relationships, it's important to acknowledge and respect each other's individuality. Partners should appreciate each one's unique traits and perspectives, understanding that these differences can strengthen the relationship. I got a book that I wrote called The Relationship Persona Effect. God gave this to me when I was having some struggles within my own marriage, where I was trying to get my wife to be something that she was not designed to be. I was not appreciating my wife's individuality and using the strength of those of the way she was wired, instead of me always pointing out how it didn't align with my expectation of who I thought she should be. I was missing opportunities to tap into the strengths of who she was based on her persona, based on how God created it. You have to respect the uniqueness of your spouse. And that's an issue that we have. We just won't accept how God made them. And he made them particularly for the purpose that was connected in their life as well as in your life. Next, we got shared responsibility. Just as Adam was responsible for the garden in a relationship, both partners share the responsibility for the relationship's health and happiness. This involves mutual effort in communication, problem solving, and decision making. You hear that? In a real relationship, both of you guys should be in the communication element, the problem solving elements and the decision making elements. Now, just because one person may take lead on those particular things, it is important to get the other person's feedback. You should not just be in a relationship, and I hear the Holy Spirit. Ooh, glory to God. I give first revelation. You can't be married to a yes man or a yes woman. God told me that's dangerous. That's dangerous when you marry to a yes man or a yes woman. Whatever you want, whatever you say, whatever you want to do. First of all, it's annoying, my opinion, if I'm asking you for your opinion and that's all you're telling me is whatever you want. That is not you taking active participation in the relationship. You should have an opinion. You should be allowed to have an opinion. Doesn't mean you can always agree, but you should be allowed to have an opinion in your relationship. It is a shared responsibility. And a lot of people, they do that because they don't want the pressure of when it doesn't work to be on them.
I can see.
I know I'm working. Want your ice cream?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go get it. Go get in the room. I'll be right there. I'm coming, son. It's a shared responsibility. And last but not least, creating a nurturing environment. Just like that was a nurturing environment where my son can come in, despite I know I have classes, I know I have responsibilities to you, but understand that my responsibility is first to my family. First to God, to my family. Yes, son, you can have some ice cream in one moment, okay? So and it has to have an environment, just like my son has an environment, which is amazing how God just used that to show that he can come in and, hey, Dad, I know you do, you know, he's three years old at the time of this recording. I don't know when you may be watching this, but he's three right now when this is happening. And to have the environment where he's not afraid, where, you know, he can be a kid and do that, shows the nurturing environment that we have created in our home, where things like that naturally can happen without him feeling fear. Is there a nurturing environment in your home for you to make mistakes? Is there a nurturing environment in your home for your children? I got to be honest. My wife has taught me that nurturing, especially even with my son, because it was a point in time where that interruption would have upset me and sent me off. But my wife taught me how to be more nurturing and understanding that he's a child. He doesn't understand these things, right? And to create that place where he's not afraid to make a mistake. Is that happening in your home? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for even letting it happen as a teaching moment. Is that happening in your home where there's a nurturing environment where you can grow naturally, where you can learn and make mistakes naturally, where you can feel comfortable in your home naturally? That's a part of creating that garden-like environment. That's the atmosphere that you need to have. Because our Holy Spirit is saying stuff. What just happened with my son, how I would have responded would have created trauma or attachment issues that he could develop when he's older. Subconsciously. See, between the ages of 0 and 7 years old is where we develop who we are. It's a part of our persona development. It's a part of our relationship attachment style development. This is where most of the traumas that we're still dealing with now at our ages, we're trying to clean up. We're trying to get fixed. And we most of the time, we don't know that. So what we do is bring that trauma into our love lives. And we cause more trauma to the people we're trying to love. So it's important to foster these moments in our relationships so that we can clean up our garden of love, so that we can fulfill our Genesis 1:26 mandate. Creating a nurturing environment in our homes is an important part of the development of holistic, healthy, whole kingdom relationships. Just like Adam in the garden, who was given responsibilities. As people, we have responsibilities in our relationships to steward and care, to actively participate in engagement, for partnership and teamwork, for respect and individuality, for shared responsibility, and creating a nurturing environment. We are all responsible for that within our relationships, just like we are in our worlds, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Again, this is your boy, Pastor Michael, the marriage pastor. It's been a great class, great journey. Make sure you do those follow the worksheets and do what it is that your facilitator is saying. Do what it is that those workbooks are asking you to do. Take action, take notes. Remember, if you want to see where any issues are in your relationship, download my Return on Love assessment. Unlock the true value of your relationship. It's free. You can find it on my page, on my link. It'll help you see through all of the noise of emotion. It'll help you to see the true value in your relationship when you're married. It also helps you determine if you're not married, if you're with somebody, is this something I should continue to invest my emotional time into? Because relationships, just like businesses, they use return on investments. You need to find out on return on your love. Are you getting back what you're putting in? Is it truly worth my emotional and physical and sexual and spiritual currency that I'm putting into this relationship? Remember to share this class with fellow churches, fellow facilitators, fellow couples, singles that are looking for God-centered relationships. It helps support the channel. And to the end, to those that are part of the Faithful Hearts community, remember, continue to love intentionally, continue to love mindfully, continue to guard your hearts, because understand that you only get marriage on this side of eternity. You want to make sure that you're doing it God's way. I'll see you guys in the next module, which will be module 5, which is the last module in this particular series, or in this part of the series, where I cover love and the interconnectedness of creation, how love and our relationships is connected to nature. All right. I love you guys with the love of Christ, and I'll see you in the next teaching.